Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
From the frozen tundra to your airwaves, it's time for 9 to Noon.
John Kuhn and touchdown Packers.
The ultimate midday hangout for Packers talk, Wisconsin sports, and everything in between. He's a Super Bowl champion.
Underneath Kuhn for the touchdown.
A Green Bay legend.
Look at John Kuhn run for the first down and keep it going. Moving the pile all the way to the 6-yard line.
And Lambeau's favorite fullback, John Kuhn. He's bringing the heat, the humor, and just the right amount of chaos. Rami Makhlouf. Together, they're breaking it all down, debating every angle, and having a little fun while doing it. This is 9 to Noon on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Hour two of that fine program, there is the former Packers fullback, three-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champ, John Kuhn. I am Rami Makhlouf, Brandon Snide along for the ride, and you, the Nooner, always welcome at 414-677-1250. We'll get back to talking to you about this Packers game tonight coming up at about 10:25. But joining us now on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network guest hotline powered by Gruber Law, one call, that's all. He covers the Packers for The Athletic. He also hosts the Tundra Podcast with John Kuhn, and he's on Twitter at @ByMattSchneidman. He is Matt Schneidman. Matt, how are you this morning, my man?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Are you ready for your first cold weather game of the season, getting out there for this one?
Yeah, I've done enough of these over the years that I know how it is. You know, in past years, I've said to myself, oh, I like being out on the field. And, you know, I do my TV hits with Fox 11 at like 5 and 5:45 tonight. And I like to be out there and see the environment. I only need to be out there for those hits. I'm too old for this. I'm a weathered 30-year-old man who does not need to be out in the cold for that long.
30, Matt. 30, and you're already too old for the cold. That's a little too early for that.
It's never too early.
And you went to school at Syracuse. I think you'd be conditioned for this type of weather. But as we talk about the weather and the Packers and the Eagles here in this one, how important is this game for the psyche of the Green Bay Packers looking after coming off the loss to try and rebound here, but a pretty premier team in the Philadelphia Eagles coming to town? How important is it for their psyche inside the locker room to get this win tonight?
Well, that's a better question for someone who's been in an NFL locker room than yourself. And I'm going to pull an AJ Hawk on McAfee and answer that question with a question, because look, this thing can go one of two ways. Literally, in the standings, it's an important game. Because if they win, they're the number two seed right now, first place in the division. If they lose, they're the number seven seed, third in the division. But what's, I think, more at stake is just the outside narrative perspective of the Green Bay Packers right now. If they win, it's, okay, they're a Super Bowl contender again. They can beat the Eagles. They can beat the Lions. They can go all the way. If they lose, it's someone find where Matt LaFleur lives and pack his bags for him himself. So my question to you, John, is inside that locker room, is it literally, it's just another game, it doesn't mean anything narrative-wise, it's either a win or a loss, and we'll, you know, lace him up next week too, or is it known inside that locker room, and is it felt, that there's more at stake with this game from kind of a narrative perspective beyond just the standings?
You know, I can only speak for myself. I can't speak to all my teammates. We used to have conversations all the time, you know, the night before the game. Did we think we were going to win? This was a good team. All the matchups on the defensive side, the offensive side, how this thing was going to play out. And me personally, I did. I always looked at these big games as this will give us a big tell. And honestly, I didn't care as long as we got into the playoffs, because I realized just getting into the playoffs, you have that opportunity in the second season, and playoff football is so so damn fun. I just wanted to play in the playoffs. But when you do have a big game against a big team like that, I go back to, you know, remember 2015 when the Packers started 6-0 and then went into a bye week. We came out and we were facing a pretty good Denver Bronco team and we lost. And it was like, man, maybe we're not as good as the 6-0 start. And then we went to Carolina and we lost. And both of them, you know, we got pummeled against Denver and we lost against Carolina. And that really checked us. That was a chin check by those two teams. And we really had to reflect and look in the mirror. I guess I ask you, because you're in there every day talking to the players in the locker room, what is the tone of their messaging? Does it feel like they are still confident? Does it feel like this team believes no matter what happens in this game, they are contenders?
Yeah, I think so. Look, a couple guys that we talked to, Colby Wooden, Carl Brooks, said that this is a chance for them to show how far they've come since that playoff loss. So I think there is some belief inside the locker room that this is sort of a measuring stick game. I was a little surprised because Matt LaFleur often keeps it PC at the podium, doesn't reveal too much, but he was asked if he kind of lets that seep in or if it's just another game. And he said he would be lying if he didn't let that seep in. It's human nature, right? So often when they're at the podium or talking to us, these players and coaches put on a face because they don't want to either give the other team any motivation. They don't want to show any, you know, cracks in the locker room. But Matt LaFleur basically acknowledged, yeah, it's human nature for it to seep in, that there is more for this game. And he said, look, Monday Night Football, Lambeau Field, the defending Super Bowl champions, what more can you ask for? So will that mean the Packers get up for this game, quote unquote, when they didn't do that last week for a noon game against the Carolina Panthers? Maybe, but you're not fooling anybody tonight at Lambeau Field. There's a lot at stake here.
Talking with Matt Schneidman of The Athletic and the Tundra Podcast, getting you ready for Packers and Eagles here tonight on 9 to noon with John Kuhn and myself, Rami Makhlouf. Tonight they start trying to figure out the puzzle of replacing the production of a Tucker Kraft. How do you think that Matt LaFleur goes about that tonight, Matt?
Well, the answer is far more than just Luke Musgrave, with all due respect to number 88. He's just not the same kind of all-around player that Tucker Kraft is, and certainly not the same kind of player after the catch that Tucker Kraft is. Think about the kind of defense the Eagles and Vic Fangio play. It's the same kind of stuff that Avero and the Panthers play. They want to keep everything in front, you know, the too high shell, force the quarterback to be patient and hope that that makes them impatient to take a risk and make a mistake, like Jordan Love did last week on that long interception intended for Christian Watson. So I say that to say Tucker Kraft would be enormous in this game because he's so good at taking that underneath route and turning it into an explosive gain. And that's kind of a solution for how do you move the ball downfield when you're only getting all this underneath stuff. They're going to need more from not just Musgrave, but Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, anyone else who's active, Dontavian Wicks, Matthew Golden, we'll see what their statuses are. I expect Wicks to play, maybe not Golden since he didn't practice the last 2 days. Josh Jacobs, last time I checked earlier in the week, is fifth in the NFL among all players in yards after catch per reception. Tucker Kraft was third, so he's capable of taking a check down, making a couple guys miss too. That yards after catch element of the Packers offense is, I think, going to be crucial tonight.
That's going to be crucial. I also think offensive and defensive line play is big in this one, especially when the weather starts to get cold. The run game has to get going. The Packers have struggled in that sense, I would say, this year. And the Eagles, aside from their last football game, struggled running the football this year. Who do you think has the edge up front with the offensive and defensive lines?
I'd be silly to say the Green Bay Packers. Even if the Eagles haven't been their normal world-beating selves up front, you have to take the Philadelphia Eagles. Saquon Barkley, as you said, kind of really just got going on the ground last week, or not last week because they had a bye last week, 2 weeks ago. He had an explosive run against the New York Giants for, I think, a 65, 75-yard touchdown. Those have been few and far between this year. I know that because he's on my fantasy team. The Packers, as we all know, have struggled run blocking up front. And I'm sure some of it has been the fault of Josh Jacobs, the situation in terms of, you know, facing stacked boxes, but the run blocking has not been great. And we talk about toughness and competing with these teams like the Eagles and Lions and wanting to stack up with them in the trenches. It begins up front, and there's no team better up front over the last couple years than you could argue the Philadelphia Eagles. So even though they're without Cam Jurgens, their starting center, I still give the edge to the Eagles in the trenches, but I'm not sure that that gap is as big as it has been in years past.
Matt Schneidman of The Athletic, our guest here on 9 to noon, getting you ready for Packers and Eagles tonight. And Matt, it'll be Brandon McManus kicking for the Packers tonight. Was that a decision that's been locked in, or do you think that Matt LaFleur wavered on that a little bit as the week of practice went on leading up to this one?
This was an interesting one this week because on Thursday, Matt LaFleur described the kicker battle, quote-unquote battle, as a competitive situation. So us in the media took that to mean there was a competition for more reasons than his health. And so that's why when I asked Rich Bisaccia the next day who was going to start for him as kicker, I was a little surprised he kind of snapped and called me a wise ass for asking that because he thought I was asking who's going to start for him at kicker as kind of like a wise-ass comment because McManus has missed 3 field goals. That's not why. I was asking it because the head coach seemed to indicate it was a competition. Now, Matt LaFleur then came back the next day and said that we read too much into the competitive situation comment and that every position is a competition each week, which that's obviously not true, but it's coach speak. I understand.
Well, you should just ask who's starting quarterback then.
Right, exactly. Nonetheless, Brandon McManus will kick. They're confident that what they've seen in practice will translate to the game, and it seems to me that coaches truly believe the right quad, which he admittedly is still working through in terms of an injury, is not the root of these misses, and that it's just kickers miss kicks. And look, if this game comes down to a field goal like the Packers' 2 losses have, and he misses another kick, man, that noise is going to start to get real hot because you got a kicker still on the active roster who was perfect in 2 games. And I get it's 2 games. I get he's far more inexperienced than Brandon McManus. But rubber meets the road at some point here, and Brandon McManus right now has the 2nd worst field goal percentage in the NFL.
Matt, I think the acquisition of Jalen Phillips the other week and Nolan Smith returning are going to drastically change what this Philadelphia defensive front looks like. Can you tell us any updates that you have on Zach Tom, what he's dealing with, if he expects to play? I know he's listed as questionable, but is it truly up in the air?
I expect him to play. He practiced each day this week, and normally that's an indication that he's going to play. I believe he was limited in each practice this week, but I get the sense, not from, you know, any inside information, just from what we observed during the week, that Zach Tom will play. And that'll obviously be huge because that Eagles defensive front, which granted lost Milton Williams and who else did they lose this offseason? Oh, Josh Sweat. They lost Josh Sweat in free agency, but they still have a great defensive line. Picking up Phillips from the Dolphins is a great pickup. I'm sure they'll have a certain third down package for him today in his first game with the team. He's played for Vic Fangio before, getting Nolan Smith back. This Packers offensive line, at least by the metrics, have been better pass blocking, much better than run blocking. So that might give the Packers even more reason than they already had to put the ball in Jordan Love's hands, get the ball out quick, and see if they can matriculate the ball down the field that way. But certainly an extra challenge with those 2 guys back for the Eagles front.
While we're on the subject of injuries, and you just mentioned put the ball in Jordan Love's hands, who is he going to be throwing the ball to? Because you got Matthew Golden, Savion Williams, and Dontavian Wicks all questionable on the injury report heading into this one. Matt, do you have a feeling on which way they're going to go with those 3 guys?
It would just be guessing right now. I haven't heard anything on any of those guys. I would expect Wicks to play. He practiced each day this week. Savion didn't practice Thursday, then practiced in a limited capacity Friday and Saturday. Golden, however, practiced in a limited capacity Thursday, then did not practice Friday and Saturday. LaFleur said that Golden didn't suffer a setback with that shoulder injury that he suffered last Sunday against the Panthers. But, I mean, not practicing the last 2 days of the week, not a great sign. The head coach did say that Golden is still fighting to play. So we will see as the day trickles on if anything comes out about those guys. But certainly having as many of them active as possible would be huge for a team that's already without, you could argue, its two most important pass catchers in Jaden Reed and Tucker Kraft.
Do you have an idea of when Jaden Reed is going to get back to practicing? I've seen some pictures of him at practice, but just doing light stuff off to the side. What's his update?
It seems he's certainly ramping up activity at practice. I saw him sprinting at practice the other day. He's been catching balls off the jugs machine. He's been present at practice for the last couple weeks. And at least this week, it seemed like, granted, there's probably rehab stuff that I don't see, so he's probably been sprinting for a little bit now. But Matt LaFleur said that he's certainly getting healthier, wouldn't really put a timetable on it. So I expect him back last couple games of the season, whether that means in a couple weeks, for the last three games of the season, I don't know. But in that YouTube video that Jaden Reed posted on his own channel, kind of detailing what he went through back in week two, Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, did say that Jaden Reed will be good to go for the home stretch of the season. So that seems to be the expectation still.
Can you give us one thing that you think is a true key to this game that we might not have discussed with you so far?
It's cliche because it's the key to every game, but you got to at least tie the turnover battle. Winning it would be great for the Packers. These are two teams that are really, really good at taking care of the football. The Eagles have the fewest turnovers in the NFL with three. The Packers, I believe, last time I checked earlier in the week before we did our show, John, are tied for second fewest turnovers in the league with five. These teams are not going to give you the ball. You got to work for it. And for a Packers team that has struggled to take the ball away this year, even though they've gotten three takeaways in the last three games, that is paramount. If they can win the ball tonight, that will give them a great chance to win. Or just break even. They can't lose the turnover battle, because you saw what happens against this Eagles team when you do that. They lost the turnover battle, I think, 4-0 in the playoffs last year, and they only lost by 12. So imagine what kind of game it'll be if they just break even.
Matt, the Packers led the push this offseason to ban the tush push, which obviously is the Eagles' trademark play. Is there any extra spiciness or bad blood to this game because of that offseason storyline, or is that more just like front office and competition committee type chatter?
Yeah, I would correct you just slightly.
Okay.
The Packers kind of led the tush push. It's very obvious, and I wrote this in my story this morning about it. The Packers didn't go to the NFL and say, hey, we hate the tush push so much that we want to draft a proposal to get it out of the game. The NFL used the Packers as kind of a scapegoat or guinea pig for that. Now, granted, the Packers don't like the play and agreed to do that and want it out of the game, but this whole, it was the Packers all along, it's a little inaccurate. That being said, for the narrative, let's just say the Packers did it. That's kind of in the Michael Jordan kind of way of kind of manufacturing motivation. Maybe the Eagles are doing that, even though they know it was probably the NFL. Maybe they are saying the Packers drafted this proposal. They wanted the tush push out, even though there were 21 other teams who wanted it out. So let's go shove it down their throat. I don't know how that manifests tonight. Can they run it with more aggression than they normally do because it's the Packers? No. Carl Brooks said to me this week, kind of tongue-in-cheek, maybe they'll run it the first play of the game. You never know. That would be awesome. I don't think that's going to happen.
That would be awesome.
I think, Rami, it's more of just a talking point, a storyline for us rather than anything substantial for tonight.
All right, well, let's talk about it then, because we know Wayne Larrivee hates it. We know Matt LaFleur hates it. We know Mark Murphy hated it. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the problem with it, obviously, is the way it's officiated, and that shouldn't be, you know, a slap on the wrist for the Eagles. If the reason it eventually gets banned, which it's going to, is because it's hard to officiate, then that's unfair to the Eagles, quite frankly. Is it an aesthetically pleasing play? No. But that doesn't matter. That should not be a reason for it being banned. There's no safety-related data to back up banning it. So is it frustrating to defend against? Sure. The Packers have run it before. The Seahawks ran it yesterday with success. Other teams run it. It's just the Eagles did it first. They do it successfully. And it annoys people. I don't have a hard and fast stance on it, but I will add this. Rob Domofsky dug up this stat from his ESPN research people this week. The Eagles, I believe, are running the tush-push at a success rate slightly more than 75% this year, which is their lowest such success rate on the play in any of the last four seasons. And it's fallen by about 17% since 2022, if I remember correctly.
Got a prediction for this one, Matt?
Yeah, look, I think any time the line is -2.5 or whatever Pato has it at, it's a trap because everyone's going to say, oh, the Eagles are the obvious pick, and then the Packers are going to win and cover and make the sports book all their money. But I'm still going to go Eagles. I'm going to fall for that trap. I'm going to say Eagles 27-24 is what I think I said on the Tundra earlier this week. I just can't really buy into the Packers because of what I've seen over the last 2 months, really, beating a team of this caliber who seems to be starting to figure things out.
That is Matt Schneidman. Read his work inside The Athletic. Check out the Tundra podcast along with John Kuhn.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And follow him on Twitter @ByMatt Schneidman. And our guest for the last few minutes on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Matt, always a pleasure, man. Stay warm tonight.
Thanks, guys.
There's Matt Schneidman joining us. We got to hit a quick break on the other side. It was a wild day in the NFL yesterday, man. We'll talk about that a little bit right after this. He's John Kuhn. I'm Rami Maclaw. Nooners always welcome at 414-677-1250. Brandon Snide along for the ride on 9 to noon on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.